commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a phone call that you'd like to make to us, question for our incredible, indubitable guest, Joni Skillbred, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And Joni, today's topic is something that every local has visited.
Well, if you're a real Fairbanksan, you have been there.
And what are we talking about?
The Fox Spring. Also known as the water from at Fox Water. It is a destination all of us have been to. And if you have lived here for more than a year and you have not gone up and gotten some Fox Water, shame on you. You're not a real Fairbanksan.
You know, I remember, you know, in the early 70s, my mom grabbing me and would get always go with a couple pitchers, you know.
The old,
before Rubbermaid, you know, this pitchers that stuff that looked pretty old and decrepit. And we'd go up there and we'd get a couple pitchers of Fox Water and we'd put it in our refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
Freshest water in town.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, Fairbanks has always had terrible water.
Yeah, we were taking the old Steese back then. It took a while.
Yes.
It was a trip.
Well, Fairbanks has terrible water. Everybody knows it.
I know.
I mean, it's...
Oh, come on.
It's also known as fossil water, you know. When Fairbanks was first built, there were outhouses everywhere in town. And, you know, a lot of the water was of dubious quality. But nobody tested it back then. So, you know, if you don't know what's in there, I mean...
If you don't know, it ain't going to kill you.
That's right.
There you go.
The first time I saw water quality become a real issue in Fairbanks other than a typhoid outbreak, we did have a couple of those, was when the cemetery flooded.
Oh,
and all the wells downriver from the cemetery, that got Birch Hill Cemetery built.
Mm-hmm.
When they pointed out, the undertaker pointed out, we got a water problem.
Yeah. But we're here to talk about the history.
We are.
And it's there's more there than people would ever realize.
Yeah. Well, I kind of, you know, it's like you know what you know about it. And there's lots of stories.
From the beginning, how did it start? How did it start? Let's go to the beginning. How did the Fox Water well start?
Permafrost. It's an artesian, originally it was an artesian supply, and you have to have permafrost to make that. And you've got water flowing down a hill, and it hits this permafrost, and it pools up, and it builds up pressure, and then it erupts out of the ground.
Yep, shoots it up.
Yes, so it was an artesian water supply. And as long as that permafrost is holding there,
you got the water.
But as we all know, permafrost changes, and we'll get more into that later.
The fights erupt.
Yes. So in looking for the early history of the spring, probably the best thing that I found was an article in which Clara Rust was consulted about the Fox Spring. And she said that back in the really early days of Fairbanks, it was a place where horses were watered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was known right from the early days. And it was freighters would stop, water their horses, probably dogs too, and come on into town. You know, it's kind of halfway. It's a nice handy stop from if you're at Cleary or one of the mines in that area to town. So it became well known for human consumption with the advent of the automobile, because then, you know, as roads got built, so probably not until around the 20s, people started getting cars, and they, you know, well, if you get a car, you need a road. And once you have a road, now you have to have a destination, a reason to go there. And so it was quite common for people to load up and take Sunday drives. And that water, the Fox Water Spring, was a favorite destination. And people would get water because Fairbanks water was so bad. And you'd fill up whatever containers you could. Sometimes people just went just to drink the water on site, mm-hmm. which they still do that today. Mm-hmm. So over the years, it became more and more popular and well known throughout the general population. And, you know, the use of it became heavier and heavier. It started out that it was a homestead that was owned by, I got to look up the name here, by George Hardy. And then it later was transferred, he got the patent on it, and then Lowell Burrison got it. And in the mid-1960s, Burrison sold it to the state of Alaska under the agreement that it would be a water supply.
Yeah, public, you know, water supply.
Yes. So the state got it. And right away, they sunk some money into it, and they made kind of the water station that we have today. It's always been free. It's always been available. There's been a few glitches over the years in that availability, but, you know, if there's not a mechanical issue or a water safety issue, you know, it's available for the public use. And use it, they do. Some of these articles, they talk about, you know, you don't want to go there certain times of the day because there's like 15 cars mm-hmm. in the pullout. So, you know, there can be traffic jams there. It's very heavily used. The flow rate, generally over the span of all the information that I could find historically, was averaged about 5 gallons per minute, mm-hmm. but could be as high as 7. Sometimes was lower, and there were some upgrades that kind of interfered with that upset people over the years, and we'll talk about some of that later. But so in looking at this, a couple things I wanted to mention before I start really talking about the history of the facility itself is I was interested in all the want ads. Because when you do a newspaper search, most of what I'm going to talk about today is in newspapers. Mm-hmm. And when you do a newspaper search, you type in these keywords, and I mean, it's just page after page after page after page of these classified ads. So it had a couple of categories that were pretty prevalent in the classified advertising. It's always ups a property's appeal if you can say that it is near the Fox Spring. So for real estate, you know, it's a plus. It's viewed as a plus. And if you
freeloaders who need free water,
if you look at the land around there, you're going to have to go after every plus you can get because yeah. it's pretty.
Are you smacking Fox?
It's well in the area of the spring. I know the road is really roller coastered, and you know there's a lot of permafrost issues there.
So how do you get to it? Today.
You go up this East Highway, and where else but in Fairbanks do you turn right to stay on the
East Highway?
If you
I
go
know.
Straight, you're going to Livengood yep. and the Hall Road.
I remember when they changed that around. It's like, you know, yeah. what did you guys, what the heck?
It's like a half a mile past the main intersection
when they put
in Fox.
When they put in the East Expressway. Yeah. versus the original Steese Highway. That's what it changed.
Well, you turn right to stay on the Steese, and then if you go up to Livengood, you have to turn left to stay on the Elliott.
I know. How many miles up the Steese on the left?
It's about a half a mile from Fox, from the main intersection there.
Doesn't the, you know, the Fox Lions, they have the property next to it, it seems like. I forget what was going on there.
Yeah, well, there's an RV park right across the street, and they advertise, you know, that they're right there. Silver Gulch Brewery is nearby there. Mm-hmm. The Howling Dog Saloon is, you know, almost a stone's throw away. If you get
Fox
kicked
General,
out of the dog,
the
you can
General
always
story,
go.
Yeah.
You can always go to the spring and drink some water.
Sober up.
Yes. So in these want ads, I also found there were lots of lost and founds. People would lose their dog. People would find a dog. One guy lost his axe, and he was pretty sore about it. He paid the money to advertise in the want ads, which I thought was kind of funny. He probably could have just gone and got a new axe, but maybe his grandpa gave it to him. I don't know. There's also usage of the name. The liquor license, there's a liquor license that was in Fox, and it was called Fox Spring Liquor, and it was up for renewal, and then it got transferred later on, so that's using that name. There's also a band called Fox Water. My son was in that band, lead guitarist.
Okay. Let's not mention names.
Yes.
What years was this?
I think they still play together periodically.
Okay.
They've been doing that for a while. It's kind of informal. Sometimes
most
he plays at the dog.
Most things in Fox are.
Yeah, sometimes he's been known to play at the dog.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We're talking about the Fox Spring. Back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey Fairbanks, North Pole. There are burn rules and alerts to keep you, your neighbors, and your buddies safe and healthy on bad air days. A stage 1 alert means no burning without a waiver. A stage 2 alert means no burning unless you have a no other source of heat waiver. Remember, no burning until the alert is over. There's more info at fnsbairalert.com. A message from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Oh, we love our cars.
It's kind of a squeak, squeak sound.
Yeah, the engine makes a tick, tick, tick noise.
It's got no heat, and it's winter.
It goes bump, bump, bam.
It seems to be leaking something.
Problems we've all had with our cars. So get it to Pearson Auto with their state-of-the-art facility. They'll quickly diagnose the problem and get your rig humming along again. Only from Pearson Auto. Off the Rich near North Pole and in West Fairbanks by the airport. Pearson Auto, your dealership alternative.
Hey, why is this light on?
Weather brought to you by Vitus Energy. Vitus Energy can fill your heating fuel and propane tanks. Find Vitus Energy on Facebook for current pricing or see them online at vitus-energy.com.
KFAR Weather.
Overcast today with highs around 3 above. North winds around 5 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Lows level off around 6 below. High of 4 above tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Dry with temperatures a bit below average Friday and Saturday, and highs from the single digits below zero to near zero. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Joni Skillbred in the studio here with me. We're talking about the Fox Springs. And it's history and what it does in the community that it's in. And
it's
sort of like the landmark of the community, no matter what.
It is. You know, it's the heart of the community of Fox, for sure. But it's also at the heart of Fairbanks, too, you know. I mean, it's mostly Fairbanksans that are going there to get the water. So some of the noteworthy individual things that have happened over the years that I thought were interesting to mention before we get into the facilities themselves was in 1984, there was an Eagle Scout project And this poor young man, he made a sign, a historical sign, and he got it erected, and it was promptly stolen.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of depressing. So at the springs to get water in this town, there are many friendships, long-time friendships, that had their start right there at the spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people kind of go on their set day at their set time, and they see all the other people there, you know.
On their schedule.
Oh, yes. And so, you know, you get to know people, and I'm sure there's a few romances that may have sprung up. One noteworthy courtship-related item that I saw in the paper was in 1973, there was a singles club called the Upper Ones. And that was one of their spots that they would line up to go to meet people. I thought that was kind of interesting. In 1977, there was they had senior transportation to different places around town, and they had a program where they would take once a week any seniors that wanted to go up there to get water. They could go up and get water, and that was in 1977.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Joni Skillbred, and your name is?
This is Al.
Hello, Al.
I heard in the first, or maybe I heard in the first part of the conversation about Fox Spring that when the state bought it from that individual that there was a stipulation, I guess, in the contract that the state would provide, you know, free drinking water from there.
I don't think it was a contract. I think that he just said that when he sold it, from what I could see reading, he just said that when he sold it that he wanted them to provide water.
Keep it operational.
Yeah, to keep it operational. It's not a contract.
They probably needed the right-of-way area, expanding the road.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, if you're going to get this, you're going to have to, you know, keep the water flowing.
Well, I was thinking of the, you know, fast-forwarding when the state was going to shut it down.
Well, we're going to get to that here in a few minutes.
Oh, you're hanging on with bated breath. That's so cool, Al. You take care, buddy.
So they arranged some senior transportation. Of course, that's when the oil money was starting to flow into the state coffers. And that oil money is going to play a big part here. When we get to the facilities, there was also, it's a place for public notices to be posted,
mm-hmm.
any kind of public notice, and that includes campaign ads. And
I never put a campaign ad there.
And campaign advertising also in the paper that you support the Fox Springs.
I never did that either.
The three candidates that I found most consistent in these articles as being related to the Fox Spring would be Mike Davis, Lynn Levengood, and Mike Kelly. They were all mentioned in this. So it's a place to campaign.
Mm-hmm.
In 1983, that's where the library's bookmobile would park. So you could go get your water and get
a book.
Check a book. Yeah. In 1978, there was a couple articles. The state had set this up as a wayside, and we'll talk some more about that also later. But there were picnic tables, outhouses, and there were trash facilities, and then there was a dumpster on site.
And basically what it is it's a pipe in the ground mm-hmm. coming out with a trickle of water. That's all it is.
Right. So this
natural artesian well water with a pipe directing its flow.
Yes.
That's all it is.
That's all it is. So when they upgraded this and they made this into like a wayside, they put the trash can out there. Well, pretty soon there was way too much trash. So then they put a dumpster, too much trash. They put an even bigger dumpster, still too much trash. And then the dumpster is being set on fire. And, you know,
Fox has a lot of interesting people.
You're going to have to. It turned out that they had to remove all of those things.
Yeah.
And it's just, just stop, you get your water, you get out.
Yep.
So also it was a place to abandon vehicles. So in 2002, you know, there's abandoned vehicles that are being sold at auction that came from the Fox Spring. It was featured in travel brochures for tourists. It was a place for crime. In 1999, there was a rape. In 1996, there was a suicide. And in 2006, there was an accidental shooting. A guy shot himself in the thigh with a .357 by accident. There were water delivery businesses that, you know, started up, but they're not getting water from exactly that spot. They're getting water from what's touted to be the same aquifer, but, you know, a mile or so away.
Yeah.
Brewing, home brewers love Fox spring water. That's where my connection was. I used to make beer with my dad when I was a girl, and we would always go up. He made beer and wine, and we always went to Fox for our water. And we had collapsible jugs, floppy things. They're hard to handle. In Silver Gulch Brewery, when they opened in 1997, they were advertised as selling bottled Fox spring water, which I thought was interesting. In 1983, they installed lighting there at the spring because it was always really dark. And in 2007, water tests showed that there was naturally occurring fluoride in the water, which I thought was really interesting. So those were the side notes on this. Other than just the history of the facilities, these are associated things with it. And so, as you can see, there's a lot of stuff that goes on around the filling of a water jug on the side of the road.
Yes, it does.
I was astounded by some of this.
Funny.
I thought, oh, my gosh. You know? So it was originally a pipe stuck in where the water bubbled out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go, and it ran pretty much year-round. It could freeze up, but the flow rate, as long as the flow rate was hard enough, it would run year-round. And at 5 gallons a minute, that's a pretty good flow rate.
Yeah.
And so it was a 2-inch pipe, if I understand it right, came out of the ground. When the property was deeded to the state went in there, and they made the big pull-out. And they put in a little bit bigger pipe, and they put in like a filling station area so you're not standing in the mud, you know? And so kind of what it's like today, that's when that first took shape, was in the mid-1960s. And everybody went up there. Everybody was happy. And they got their water, and they nobody really gave a lot of thought to anything else with it. And whose job is it to maintain this spring?
That's where the fight starts.
Well, whose job is it?
Yeah.
It's owned by the state. It was decided that it was DOT's job. Not officially decided.
Who decided that?
Well, see, that's the problem. It's not officially decided.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the legislature that decides this. It's just common acceptance that if DOT has the right-of-way and the wayside, then therefore DOT is going to fix this.
The Friends of Fox Springs, they've done a lot of fundraising. They've sort of taken it over.
So initially, this becomes DOT's job. Well, DOT's quite happy. You know, they're not complaining.
Yeah.
Pretty easy. I mean, you got a pipe stuck in the ground. You maintain, you keep the pull out. Done. That's all great until some time goes by, and there was. Are we going to a commercial?
Yes, we are.
Okay, we can.
Are you ready for a commercial?
Yes.
Okay, Fairbanks. We're going to take a break for some bumper music, and it's Michael Jackson, Billie Jean, and Remember, I don't pick this stuff. Then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather. We'll be back in a bit.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Barron Croft, the man characterized as an architect of the conspiracy to kidnap Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer, has been sentenced to more than 19 years in prison, the longest sentence to given to anyone convicted in that plot.
Prosecutors said Croft was heavily involved in pushing a plot involving kidnapping Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, that he and other men were infuriated by COVID-related restrictions, trained to carry out the attack, and even scouted out her vacation home.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. As airlines try to catch up following the Christmas storm throughout much of the country, problems remain, especially on Southwest.
67% of Southwest flights across the country are disrupted so far. It is a slight improvement from yesterday, but not by much. And the situation isn't expected to get better until later this week.
That's Fox Weather's Katie Byrne in Philadelphia. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a man was shot and killed last week by Alaska State Troopers in Fairbanks. According to a dispatch, troopers saw 20-year-old Patrick Alexander in the area of Cherokee Avenue and Ravenwood Avenue near the Fairbanks International Airport after 2 p.m. on December 23rd. Troopers wrote that Alexander was concealing a long gun and had multiple arrest warrants. Troopers stopped their marked patrol vehicle and attempted to contact Alexander, troopers wrote. Alexander was given multiple commands by troopers to drop his firearm, but he refused to drop the firearm and instead began to manipulate the gun. Multiple Alaska State Troopers discharged their duty weapons, striking Alexander. Local EMS crews responded to the scene and transported Alexander to a Fairbanks area hospital. Alexander was declared deceased at the hospital. On Monday, troopers released the names of the officers who fired their weapons on Alexander: Drew Massey, who has been a trooper for 3 years, and Giovanni Summers, who has been a trooper for 5 months. Troopers wrote that Alexander's warrants were for third-degree assault, second-degree terroristic threatening, fourth- and fifth-degree misconduct involving weapons and
Online at
KFAR660.com. McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine provides the highest quality of orthopedic surgical and non-surgical care for patients. From elite athletes to weekend warriors, pediatric care, or young athletic adults to aging athletes that don't want to slow down, all patients benefit from McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine's expertise. The goal is to get you back in the game, whether that means sport, work, or simply everyday life. The entire staff is dedicated to serving patients in a professional, efficient, and compassionate manner. McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine on Geist Road, just off of University Avenue.
Wine glasses never fall over until you get a brand new rug.
Oh no!
Ketchup bottles act normal till you're wearing a new shirt.
Ugh, you kidding me?
And rocks lie peacefully on the road till the day you get a brand new windshield. Then they fly up off the road and attack without mercy. That's why new windshields from Glass Doctor come with our windshield protection plan. Unlimited repairs and one replacement for 12 months. Don't just fix it, protect it. Glass Doctor, a neighborly company.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Joni Skillbred in the studio here with me, and we're talking about Fox Springs and all the nuances and idiosyncrasies about it, and we're talking now about the state of Alaska and its maintenance agreement.
Of the facility. Yes. Yeah, so they have the spring, so it's in the right-of-way, the DOT right-of-way, mm-hmm. and that was part of why it was deeded to the state, and they put in this paved pullout, and they put in picnic tables, and they put in outhouses, and made it all really nice. You know, it's a nice destination for your family and mm-hmm. everything else, and it was really nice for several years. So in 1967, that stuff was completed. It had trash cans. It did not have lighting yet. And everything was pretty good until 1976.
Ooh, she has a wicked smile.
Oh, yeah.
Then what happened in 1976?
In 1976, somebody went and complained to the Department of Natural Resources, Environmental Conservation, or one of those places, and also DOT got involved, and there were worms found in the Fox water. And oh my gosh, somebody saw this wriggling worm and come unglued. And once it's made official and it's made, it was a common knowledge thing amongst these departments, but there was nothing they could do. They couldn't identify what the worm was because people would bring dead, rotten worms that were too far degraded. They would try to identify it, and you can't, you know. And it's just a little worm here. It's just a little worm in your water. Well, somebody brought in a wriggling sample finally, and it also made the paper. And as soon as it makes the paper, oh boy, you know, everybody's like, oh my gosh, there's worms in the water. We got to do something about this. Well, they finally identified the type of worm, and it's related to earthworms, and it was deemed as harmless. You can drink it. It won't hurt you, but, you know, I mean, having worms in your water.
It's not going to grow in your body.
Right. It's unacceptable. And Sam White wrote a letter to the editor, and he said, well, there's been worms in that water a couple times a year for 50 years or more, and we've all been drinking it, and nobody had a problem until now. But, you know, there was public outcry.
That wasn't the message you wanted to have.
Right.
Out.
So DOT was sent to do something about this, and they cleaned out the pipe, which was just full of algae, probably had something to do with the worms being in the water. And they cleaned the pipes, and everything, they got everything going again, and it was all good again until January of 1980. The water started to dry up, and this was what is going on with the water. What happened? Well, as you know, permafrost is a component in this artesian supply, and we have a lot of change in permafrost ground up here. So due to climate change, you know, that's an ongoing problem, it turns out. And as the permafrost changes, so does the water. And the permafrost dam, the water can break through, or it'll go around and it'll go deeper. And so where you have the pipe shoved into the ground.
It's just like a river changing the channel. The channel changes,
yep. And the pipe that was in the ground, well, it moved over here 100 feet. And so, you know, it's drying up and you got to move the pipe. So DOT goes in and they dig around and they go, okay, we have to move it. So they get it moved over and they get it locked in. They go, okay, we're all good. Everybody's got water. Everything's good. In the meantime, you know, everybody's supporting the Fox Well. We have all this oil money in the state coffers. Mm-hmm. There's no complaints. So in 1983, the lighting upgrade went to bid. So, you know, roughly 1984 is when the lighting was installed there. And everything was good again until 1986, when water testing comes up.
Oh, no.
That
E. coli?
There was bacteria in the water.
E. coli.
Oh, my gosh. You know. Well, it turns out that the water at the Fox Spring was only tested once a year. DOT had it tested once a year. Now, you got to remember, this is the Department of Transportation. Mm-hmm. They don't know anything about
this. Is an ADEC
spring water.
This is not
stuff.
The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Right? They don't know all of this, and these departments do not talk to each other unless they have to.
That's correct.
Obviously, you know, and so this comes up. Well, then the Department of Environmental Conservation gets involved. And in walks Stan Justice.
Oh, the marathoner.
Stan Justice is a guy in Fairbanks' history. You either love him or you hate him.
This is when we start to hate him. Yeah, he's a great marathoner.
Yeah, well, he was, you know, he was with the Department of Environmental Conservation. And while Fairbanks is a conservative town, it's generally not conservative in that way. And he stepped in and he said, first of all, you're not testing the water monthly. You are obligated to test the water monthly. and you have to test it for these things. And he went and looked it over, and he said, this is not a good thing. And it turned out that the water was contaminated with fecal matter. And where is this coming from? And he investigated, and it was determined that people were using, they had removed the outhouses, and people were using the bushes that surrounded where the pipe went into the ground. That it was a great place to
do a number
relieve
two.
Yourself. And so they had contaminated the water supply. So he demands DOT get this all cleaned up. So they all work together. They get it all cleaned up. They get everything fixed. And it you know, he warns people. He says, you need to not rely on this source of water. He tries to encourage the public, if you're going to use water from this source, you darn well better be boiling it even after it tests good, because this is not a proper well. You know, he's and he was making a very valid point, but people just ignored him. They didn't. Most people didn't want to listen to what he had to say about it. And this is causing a lot of expense. And DOT is budgeting. Their money is budgeted for road maintenance. There's nothing in the budget for the spring. So every time they have to do any major work at that spring, it's coming out of their road maintenance budget.
Mm-hmm.
They have to find that money. And as time goes on, you know, the oil money starts
getting smaller,
smaller, you know, fighting over money in Juneau starts getting more and more and
caustic,
more.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And so these DOT start squawking. You need to have separate funding for us. From in Juneau, you need to send us separate funding if you want us to maintain this spring, because it's a huge liability. It's also an insurance liability. The state is self-insured. If anybody drinks that water and gets sick and really sick and disabled or dies, guess who's going to be having to pay up? And so Stan Justice was squawking, and the state is going, now wait just a minute here. And, you know, getting people in Juneau, legislators from all over the state, unless you're from Fairbanks, you don't understand.
Yes, what this
the is. Importance of this.
Yeah.
So this all gets bogged up in all this politics and bureaucracy and everything else. In the meantime, in 1988, the well dried up again, and they brought in Swan Drilling. They contracted Swan Drilling, and they actually drilled a well all the way to bedrock, and they made a cement chamber in there to catch water. They installed a pump that would pump off of this catchment. And then they had the line, the metal pipe, and it had heat tape wrapped around it that went to where it came out, where you could fill your jugs. And there was some squawking because they started, it used to be in the old days, it was just one spout of water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they made like a manifold there where you can fill, you know,
four,
you can fill
things.
Like four.
Yeah.
And well, each one of those flowed slower now because you're dividing that water into four.
Yeah, instead of 5 gallons per minute, you got 4 1-gallon
right.
locations.
Yeah. Some people liked it. Some people complained about it. Well, that went okay till 2004. And in 2004, a neighboring piece of property, this little bit that the state was in charge of is a very small piece of property. Well, a neighbor on an upstream piece of property, he put in a brand new driveway and unwittingly contaminated the water. And he didn't do anything illegal, but unwittingly he did. And he worked with the state and they cleaned it all up. But there was public outcry about the water source. And in 2006, the pump failed because it ran 24/7. And the pipe broke after the pump failed. The pipe broke because it froze up. And then it cost $52,000 for repairs in 2006.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Affordable Used Cars is the only true one-stop shopping experience in Fairbanks. Affordable Used Cars has the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the state. All makes and all models. That's right. Affordable has them all. Chevy, GMC, BMW, Kia, Ford, and more. The list goes on. No need to drive around all day or spend hours on the internet. Come by today for a test drive and be amazed at the selection and the affordable prices. Affordable Used Cars, located on South Cushman.
From everyone at Tommy G's Meat and Sausage, they want to wish you a wonderful Christmas season and may you be blessed with good health, prosperity, and happiness in the upcoming year. Tommy G wants to encourage you to reach out to those that maybe you've lost contact with and wish them love, happiness, and joy to them and their family this holiday season. Everyone at Tommy G's would like to say thank you for making this year successful, and they hope they have helped you make dinner with your friends and family an experience to remember.
Weather this hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Call Long today to find out about a UV filtration and ionization system that will help reduce sick days in your workplace. 561-3044 or find out more at long.com.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a chance for snow. Daytime highs approaching 3 above. North winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 8 below. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 2 below. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Joni Skillbred in the studio here with me. Now, we're getting into the funding fights.
It's getting expensive.
Yes, for free water for everyone.
Well, the source moves. You constantly have to keep upgrading this. There's no way that you can put something in that's going to last for generations. You know, stuff wears out. In 2006, when they did the big repairs, then it was $52,000 it cost to redo the well. They had to go deeper. I think, if I remember right, they had to even move part of it because the water course had changed. And this is all getting really expensive, and money's getting tighter in Juneau.
Yeah.
So Sarah Palin got elected governor. And Sarah, when she got in there, you know, she says, well, I'm line item veto. I'm the girl that's going to do the line item veto, and I got the guts to do it. Well, one of the things that she wanted to line item veto was money for the springs. And DOT, you know, this is a problem for them because it has to come out of, they are expected to take care of this.
Yeah.
And so this big brouhaha comes up. Whose responsibility is this? And the public feels that back in the 70s, it was 10% of the population didn't have plumbing, and they relied on that spring for their water. And there's a lot of public support to keep this spring open. So what are you going to do? You're going to have to get the money from somewhere. And so the DOT moved the right-of-way so that the well itself is out of the right-of-way, which then it frees them up from the absolute responsibility.
Yeah, then they can discharge the property, sell it, or donate it.
It puts them at a political advantage.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that was in 2007, and in 2013, the well ran dry, and the political battle really heated up at that point. And then in 2015, it got repaired. In 2015, it ran dry again. Well, now we're getting into a lot of reduced money in the state coffers. Things are getting downright stressful.
Tight.
And DOT was holding public meetings to try to get out of the responsibility of having to maintain this well. So the state was considered selling in 2016. They were going to sell the well. And there was one proposition was for the borough to take it over. Well, if you're on the borough assembly, you're going to go,
no way.
No way. No, we do not want that. And then they said, okay, well, all these people that are using the well, they should have to take care of it. So then there was a task force group called Fox Water or Fox Spring Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
And they were started up and there were petitions and everything else. And they evolved into what today we know of as the Friends of the Fox Spring.
They've been on the show here.
Which technically isn't a spring now. It's a well.
Yeah,
but yes.
What's in a name?
Thankfully, an agreement was made between them and DOT, where DOT is not 100% responsible for the cleanup of all the trash, the monitoring of the facilities, and everything else. So they're working together now. Friends of the Fox Spring holds fundraisers and, you know, helps with the funding of the maintenance of the facilities, and things have run fairly smoothly over the last several years. But, you know, it's just a matter of time. It's going to fail again. And
it always does.
It does. The water, the aquifer can move. Mm-hmm. You know, the pump can fail. Pumps only last so long. You know, the pipes, they have plastic pipe in there today. So all of these things combined, you know, if we all want to keep getting our water there, then when it breaks and the funding issue comes up, you got to get on the phone and you got to help. And, you know, it's really an important thing. And the Friends of the Fox Spring are the ones who are the best ones to talk to about it. So that was what I learned about all of that. My favorite part was the worms.
Oh, God. That's the Joni Skillbread I know.
Yes.
You ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFUR Radio with Joni Skillbread, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Yeah, I relied on the Fox Spring to fill my water jugs for over 20 years, and what made me not use it anymore, and I've been through most of what Joni was talking about. When I enlarged my tiny cabin to make it a small cabin, the add-on was taller, so I put in a ceiling tank to feed my kitchen sink, and I used that clear plastic tubing that's sold at most hardware stores to connect the two. And it's about a, you know, 15-foot long tube that comes out over my sink and is gravity fed. And after a while, still using Fox water, the tube started growing algae in it because of the light, you know. And the point I'm making is that Fox water is not chlorinated.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference. A lot of people don't like chlorinated water. I got to say, when I switch between the two, I still get a little bit in the summertime out at Fox because it ices up in the winter pretty badly sometimes. But, you know, I had to switch to Water Wagon, you know, which is chlorinated, you know, College Utilities. And I can taste the difference, but I'm used to, you know, Water Wagon because it's, you know, so easy to fill. But anyway, I just wanted to make that point that I had to kill the algae in my tube. You know, when I switched to Fox water, it started to slowly kill it just with the chlorine in it, but I just kind of bleached it all out. And anyway, so that's one thing to consider. Fox water is not chlorinated.
Well, thank you for that information, Mel. Really appreciate it. You have a good Christmas?
Oh.
I guess he did. Okay.
So the Friends of the Fox Spring are a North Star Community Foundation member. And they do have a website, and the head person there is Melinda, And so you can Google their website and you can learn more about it, you know. And like I say, it's a very important source for many of us. A lot of people don't want to drink chlorinated water. You know, there's downsides to that also. So, yeah, it's
it gets interesting, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it's been part of our history for a long, long time. So, you know, I remember going there as a girl. I remember walking back up where the pipe went into the hill. I remember seeing that. People, you know, they've Sunday drove there, tourists stopped there. You never know what you're going to see there, even to this day. And my hope is that it will continue.
Of course, yeah.
I would not want to see it go away.
Well, that was a very good presentation in history.
Yeah.
And you know, depending on the friends of Fox Spring and what they do and how they do it, you know, who owns the real estate to it?
The state.
Okay.
The state owns the property.
They have an operating agreement with the Friends of the Fox Spring.
Yes, yes. But the well itself is out just outside of the right-of-way. So DOT is not forced.
Probably the only place where they only have a 20-foot right-of-way, not a 30-foot right-of-way.
And, you know, they did try to – there was talk about turning it over to Parks, Division of Parks and Rec, but nobody really – no one entity really has the
wherewithal.
Expertise to take care of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not – you know, that's kind of a niche thing. And but DOT for sure is – it's been such a challenge. You know, Hal Hume, when he was director – of the facilities management for DOT, he was so frustrated, you know, because they don't know anything about this. They're not trained for that. They're not geared for that. Some of the subsequent people that worked there, some of them threw themselves into it, and you know, kind of were excited to get to learn something new. And they learned as they went. Sometimes they would consult outside experts and bring them in. But overall, you know, this is like a niche thing. And having the Friends of the Fox Spring, you got people that know the history of it and know what needs to be done. So you have that background.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a big help.
So what are you thinking about in January?
I'm thinking about the First National Bank.
Ooh,
of Fairbanks.
The Stroker Boys.
The bank, yes.
The Strokers.
Yes.
My favorite was Eddie.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Junior, not the dad.
Oh, the junior, okay.
Yeah, he was something else.
Yeah.
Him and Bill together. They, yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie was the marketer.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go out and make the loans. Bill was the administrator.
He was the boss.
Eddie was the boss until he died.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, I got to meet Bill once, and
I liked him
in
both.
His
I liked
office,
him both. I liked
and he
them
was
both.
he was a very interesting fellow and quite charismatic.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Joni, thank you very, very much.
Well, you're welcome.
So appreciate this, and you have a good week, and I will see you in a month, no matter what.
Next year.
You got it. Fairbanks, that's our show. I will see you next year also. You take care.